Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
To this week's edition of Says You, where this week we ride it right off the rails in a town called Lincoln.
We've been here so long, the town was first called Buchanan, I think, before we...
You see, the trouble was we tried recording four shows in one day. This is show four.
Anybody see a tree?
Because that could really catch on.
Right. Right. You have a registered sycamore.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm not okay.
Because no one wants an unregistered sycamore. I've said this many times. Welcome to game four, ladies and gentlemen. Our fourth game today. Anything can happen. But that's all there is, right? It just couldn't have gotten sillier, right?
The favorite Christmas dish, boiled live turkey.
Yeah.
Get you right in the spirit.
So come back with us to Lincoln for show four. Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Food, water, and medicine are in short supply in the rebel-held city of Alcocer, where, as the BBC's Jim Muir reports, a government-military offensive continues.
Activists reported at least seven airstrikes on rebel-held parts of Alcocer as clashes continued between the embattled rebels and the encircling army forces and Hezbollah. Reports from the nearby Lebanese border area said there was also an overnight clash between Hezbollah and rebel fighters, possibly just inside Lebanon itself, where rockets fired by rebels have been regularly hitting areas of the northern Bekaa Valley, where Hezbollah holds sway. Russia's move to block a statement by the UN Security Council expressing concern about the situation in Alcocer, on the grounds that no such statement was issued when the town fell to the rebels in the first place, has disappointed those who thought that the agreement between the Russians and Americans to sponsor a peace conference on Syria might lead to cooperation at the UN.
The BBC's Jim Muir. Illinois is the last state in the nation without some form of concealed carry law. That could change soon. From member station WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, Amanda Vinicky has details.
Illinois is under a federal court order to pass a law by June 9th that will allow people to carry loaded guns in public. On the final day of the legislative session, lawmakers approved a bill to meet that deadline. State Senator Bill Haynes speaks to the difficulty of reaching a compromise.
There are many citizens who fear and loathe handguns. Many thousands of others believe the Second Amendment is a personal right and that they want a handgun for personal defense.
Gun owners would need to pass a background check and they could not bring their weapons to schools or on trains. A separate measure to prohibit the sale of high-capacity magazines failed, despite an emotional in-person plea by parents of children killed in the Sandy Hook school shooting. For NPR News, I'm Amanda Vinicky in Springfield, Illinois.
As Oklahoma picks up the pieces after another tornado, scientists continue to work on technology to prepare people for violent storm systems. NPR's Jim Hawk reports on the development of tornado drones.
Designed to fit inside a standard flatbed trailer, the Kevlar reinforced drones named storm-penetrating air vehicles are being designed and built at Oklahoma State University. OSU professor Jamie Jacobs says the idea is to fly them into the worst storms to send back real-time data well before a tornado has developed.
What we're really interested in using this technology for is to try to understand a bit better about how tornadoes actually form.
Jacob says warning times might be expanded from about 15 minutes to 30 or even 60 minutes. At least one bureaucratic obstacle remains, getting FAA approval to fly the tornado drones over populated areas. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
This is NPR. An appeals court says firing a woman for pumping breast milk is unlawful sex discrimination. As NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, the ruling overturns a lower court case.
A Houston woman says she was fired after asking to pump milk at the debt collection agency where she worked. Last year, a district judge ruled that lactation is not covered by the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. He said it's not a medical condition related to pregnancy or childbirth. Other lower courts have ruled ruled the same. But the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals finds that, yes, nursing is indeed related to pregnancy. The court notes that men, as a matter of biology, cannot be fired for the same reason. The case now goes back to the lower court to be tried on the merits. The Houston woman's employer alleges she had abandoned her job while on maternity leave. Jennifer Lutton, NPR News.
The AP reports Saudi Arabia now puts its SARS-like respiratory virus death toll at 24, with three more victims succumbing to the illness. The World Health Organization says the new germ was first seen in the Middle East. Hundreds died in a global SARS epidemic in 2003. An outbreak of hepatitis A appears to be linked to a frozen organic berry mix sold by an Oregon company. The CDC says several of the sick say they bought the product at Costco. There's no recall, but officials advise against the Townsend Farms organic antioxidant blend. And in Paris, Serena Williams has earned a berth in the French Open quarterfinals and extended her career-best winning streak to 28 matches. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From Bemis Hall in Lincoln, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Hollywood bigwig, the actor's actor, Mr. Tom Kemp. Philanthropic guru and adverb advocate, Francine Akbar. And television host, the prince of pronouns, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's the captain tonight?
Oh, I will be.
Francine. I guess it's... To my left, team two, producer, performer, raconteur, Arnie Reisman. Columnist, critic, pun, and funster, Carolyn Faye Fox. And executive coach, author, the laugh you love to hear, Miss Paula Lyons. Who's going to take on duties tonight?
Arnie.
Yes.
Arnie will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. Bob Perlstein of Newton, Massachusetts, brings us an interesting challenge we call shop talk. Here are terms used in various trades or professions. For 10 points, given the endeavor, please define the term.
Oh.
Carolyn, from the brewing industry, what might be meant by the angel's share?
The angel's share. That would be the amount of beer that the workers can drink.
That's an excellent guess. It's not correct, but that's a great guess.
All right, the angel's share.
The angel's share.
It's the amount of beer sent off to the investors.
You know, she's racking up points here. And
does it have anything to do with the height?
Well, it has to do with the part that goes to the angels, certainly.
No kidding. Oh, you mean?
Thus the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the part that evaporates into the air?
Yeah.
Oh. It is, exactly.
Thank you, Paula.
10 points. Very good, Paula.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's the percentage of whiskey that evaporates while maturing in the cask.
Did you just say whiskey?
Yes.
Oh. Did you say this was a brewing question? Well, I guess so. Okay.
I guess
That's
so. I was thinking
distilling.
Beer.
Let's say distilling.
Something ringing?
I love this one, Tom. From gardening, what might finger blight be?
Finger blight.
Yes.
I think that's, is that what you're not supposed to touch certain plants with your hands when they're wet.
Oh, I thought he had it. That's not it. I thought he had it. That's not
I thought I had it too, Richard.
Yeah, really. finger blight.
Now, your wife would know this, and you can't see her.
And I can't see her.
Was he on it when he was talking about you're not supposed to touch?
That's exactly.
And is it the petal part?
No.
No?
But it is about not supposed to touch.
You're not supposed to touch it and because you give it the blight, the plant. The plant doesn't give you the blight.
No. Nobody gives anybody anything. One of the few instances.
Richard.
It's going to be one of those.
No, I'm not even going to go there.
but it is about, certainly is about touching it.
It's about touching it. Yeah, and you shouldn't.
Anybody up here want to take a shot?
Are we talking like belladonna poison or anything?
No. Why shouldn't you touch it, audience? No, it's not yours.
It's not yours?
It is not yours.
Finger blight?
Finger blight is petty plant larceny.
Petty plant larceny. Wow.
It is loss of fruits and vegetables to passersby who casually help themselves to your crop. What is the matter with these people?
See, you touch something that's not yours, you could get something.
Yes.
I suppose. Oh, give them 4 points because you can get something. We'll get away. That is finger blight.
Wow.
That's
larceny,
funny.
I've never heard him.
Unhand that hibiscus.
Right. All right, Arnie.
It's more, yeah. You know.
From aviation.
Unhand that squash.
From aviation.
Yes. Who or what is Iron Mike?
Iron Mike.
Yes.
Sounds very familiar.
Does it now?
Iron Mike.
Is he a pilot?
It's actually an instrument, no?
Yes, it is.
Like the old joystick. It's
you're getting there.
Yeah, it's what flies the plane.
It is exactly what flies the plane. It is the autopilot.
It's the autopilot.
Iron Mike is the autopilot.
Autopilot.
10 points. Very good. Try this one, Francine. In medicine, what might be meant by a meeting of the knife and gun club?
Oh. The knife.
I think your husband's there now. The emergency room.
The emergency room.
It's pulling duty in the emergency room.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's a meeting of the knife and gun club. Boy, you guys are eating this one alive. Very good. All right, we'll make it a little harder.
Although
Paula?
I did have a friend who worked in an emergency room who told me that a man came in with an axe in his head.
And we need to know this for what reason?
Well, it
and he
would
said
be
what?
The
did you
knife,
see a tree
gun,
come in?
And axe club.
Okay. You see it? Anybody see
a tree?
Because
that could really catch on.
Yeah, right. Right. You have a registered sycamore?
Yeah. I'm a lumberjack because, and I'm not okay.
Because no one wants an unregistered sycamore. I've said this many times. Welcome to game four, ladies and gentlemen. Our fourth game today. Anything can happen. Try this one, Paula, from cooking. What might be meant by sous vide?
Sous vide?
Yes, S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E, sous vide.
It's cooked very, very slowly at a very low temperature.
No, not really. That's not what it. That's not where we're going here. You're right about that. It is cooked at a low temperature.
What is
gently.
Sous vide? In water.
Yes, but there's more to it than that.
In a bag.
Now we're getting someplace.
Okay.
And what about the vide part?
It's something that's alive.
You see the bag.
You see the bag. No,
right.
You're not seeing it.
Something alive is in the bag. No.
What? Like
a
shrimp.
Something alive. Yeah. Well, you know, we cook live things all the time.
The favorite Christmas dish, boiled live turkey. Get you right in the spirit.
You got, you're about 6 or 7 points there, but you're missing a pretty important element. Of it is a method of food preparation, but...
But it's the kind of food?
It's meat.
Well, how do they do it?
How do they do
volume.
It? Yeah.
Volume.
How do we do it?
Don't do that again. Okay. Don't do that again.
I'm sorry, Antonio, if I just blow out your ears, but...
Right. How do they do it?
Vide?
So it's... the element we're missing is what's in the bag?
No. That's not the element you're missing.
What is the bag? Is that
what's
missing?
Well, no, the other side knows. You're going to get 6 points. Go to the other side.
It's at a very low temperature.
That's what you said.
They already said that.
It's baked in a bag, an empty bag.
We already said that.
What element are they missing, audience?
Over a very long time.
It is vacuumed. The ingredients are placed in thin plastic bags, and the air is evacuated.
Yeah.
Then the bag is heat sealed. You mentioned nothing about vacuum,
even though sous vide
means under vacuum. And try this, Barry.
Yeah, I guess so. 6 points.
A little bit of shop talk from sports. A crackback block.
Oh, a crackback block is where typically a guard or some pulling member of the offensive line comes around and catches somebody who has been allowed to slip through the line basically from behind, and it's terribly painful.
Not only is it terribly painful,
it's illegal.
It's illegal. That's exactly what it is. It's from football. Nice description, actually. It's an illegal block delivered from the back by an offensive lineman who left the area of play and then kind of snuck back in and wallops the guy from behind. And that's a crackback block. And Andy Cawthorn did it to me when I was a senior in high school, and I have not been the same since. I was thoroughly rearranged when that occurred. And thanks so much to Bob Perlstein of nearby Newton for giving us that round. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from Southern Rail. It is the first. A little round of applause there for Southern Rail. It is the first of the Says You bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will get a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Francine if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Uri. O-U-R-I-E. Uri. Folks.
Sunrise, it came up on its own. I didn't ask for the mountain, they just grew up out of stone. I didn't ask for the flowers, the sparkle and the bright morning dew. All I wanted was a lover to hold me, and the Lord in his wisdom sent me you.
Okay, Father's Day coming up. What to get the old man? Something fun, quick, completely maintenance-free. Wait a minute. That sounds like Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. 2 volumes from our first 2 seasons. Scripts from 40 shows. The ultimate way to occupy the kids on the drive to Elmira. And not a tie. You can find out more about this thoughtful gift alternative at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And while you're there, why not contribute a question to the show? Because frankly, Phil and I are hitting a dry spell.
Up above the rain, I learned to sing and to cry. I didn't pass for October. It's followed by November all too soon. I didn't ask for the twilight or the glow of a pale harvest moon. Every day joy that surrounds me and you. All I wanted was a lover to hold me, and the Lord in his wisdom sent me you.
Says You returns after this from home.
joy that's around me here. All I wanted was a lover to hold me, and the Lord in his wisdom sent me here. All I wanted was a lover to hold me, and the Lord in his wisdom sent me here.
That is Southern Rail. We are privileged to have with us tonight Jim Muller on guitar, Sharon Horovich on the bass, Rich Stillman on the banjo, and John Rock on the mandolin. Thank you very much, guys. And I also want to give a quick shout-out to Jim Rogers at WIUP in Indiana, Pennsylvania, who taught us how to get a hold of you. And thanks, Jim, for making this night real special for us.
We've always wanted to play Lincoln Center.
Yeah. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That is Evan and Kayla Goldstein from nearby Hopkinton. Thank you very much for keeping the score up. Right? We have had a few moments with the word Uri. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Ori, an Ori is two-thirds of a cookie. An Ori, really. An Ori is a circus contortionist who specializes in trapeze work. As in, there once was a girl named Lori who worked as a circus Ori. When she needed to twist, she flexed both her wrists and was simply impossible to ignore.
And at the bottom of all that, we have a circus contortionist.
Yes.
Could be it. Or Arnie, something else.
Well, I think it's an adjective that might get you to become a circus contortionist because it sort of describes the feeling that you're going to get frostbite at any minute. Or that you're just not dressed warmly enough for the weather you're undergoing. It's shivering with cold. You're experiencing an Ori experience. You're just shivering.
Shivering with cold.
I'm feeling Ori.
You're Ori.
Yes.
You're just shivering with cold. Could be it. Sounds
Ori
logical.
All over. Yeah.
Or it might be something else. Paula, what say you?
You know, well, I first read this before you gave me the pronunciation as an Auri, and I thought it's kind of like an owie, except it's a big group hurt or something. Actually, it just means out of it, vague, confused.
Out of it.
Auri.
Confused.
Or however
vague.
You said it.
Something, what I'm going through right now, actually.
Yeah.
Out of it, confused, vague. It could be that. It could be shivering with cold, or it could be a circus contortionist. One thing for sure, it is one of those three, and the choice, Francine, is yours.
Oh, I am dazed and confused. And I seek counsel from my wise colleagues.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
I'd go with the Auri just because it was so entertaining.
The trapeze
contortionist, yes. Yeah, that was a big help. I go with the contortionist.
The contortionist?
There's no clue in this word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Perhaps that's why he chose it.
Could be. Fine.
Let's go with Auri then. I think, let's go with contortionist. I've been afraid I'm a little Auri.
I fear that... with no good justification, that is what we will do.
So you are choosing?
The contortionist.
Carolyn, they are saying that an Ori is a circus contortionist. Is that in fact what it is?
Ori, please fake a definition.
No!
That is a fake definition. All right, audience, what do you think?
Fake a definition and write a poem. Yeah. Pretty good.
All right, audience, what do you think? Well, Paula, it seems to be a landslide out there. The entire audience thinks that Uri is out of it, vague, confused. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Uri, or whatever you said. Please fake a definition.
It is not. Because the definition actually reads...
The University of Rhode Island buried between two vowels. Oh, no, it says... Adjective, shivering with cold.
Shivering with cold.
I don't know
cold.
Where it's from.
Matthew Wilson of Salt Lake City, Utah, listens to Says You each week, courtesy our longtime friends at KCPW. He sends us a category of rhyming couplets. What two-word rhyming pair is brought to mind by the following clues? For example, a hobo's hindquarters.
Or bums, bum.
Bums, buns. Bum.
Or bums, bum.
I'm terribly sorry to disappoint you, madam. I point out this is the contribution of poor Matthew Wilson from Salt Lake City, Utah. All right, try this one, Carolyn. Angry student housing.
Angry student housing. Something dorm?
No.
Student housing would be...
Mad quad? What do you do? No.
Angry student housing.
Angry student housing.
Mad pad.
Mad pad.
Quad.
Student housing. Dorm, quad, hall.
No, it's not on a college campus.
It's not on a college campus. No. And it's student housing?
It's more about traveling.
Oh, hostel.
Hostel. That kind of...
These do not rhyme, however.
10 points. Well. Try this one, Tom. Albert's Remedies.
What?
Repeat that. Say the name again.
Albert's. A-L-P-E-R-T-S.
Oh.
Albert's Remedies.
Yeah, okay.
Albert.
Prince
okay,
Albert.
Okay, just a minute. Herb. Go with Herb.
Herbs.
Herbs.
There you got it.
Finally, okay. We got there, yes.
All right.
I was going with Marv Albert, and I couldn't find anyone for that.
Herb Albert. Yeah.
His remedies aren't fit for family radio.
Yeah. That's right.
Arnold, try this
sure.
one.
Yeah.
Recipient of a tonsorial bequest.
Hair. Tonsorial. Barber.
Recipient.
An inheritance.
Inheritance, yeah.
Inheritance.
You're getting there.
I could go with that. Hair's hair.
Hair's hair. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Hair's
hair. Hair, yes.
Hair.
Hair is correct. Try this one, Francine. Previously shaved mutton.
Previously shaved?
Previously shaved mutton.
Lamb.
Previously shaved mutton.
Shear. Mutton. Sheep.
Lamb.
Not sheep, not lamb.
Ram.
Not ram.
You.
There we go.
You.
You shaved.
Light up. Really have you? Some bad questions.
Previously shaved.
You. Previously shaved, used you.
Used use.
Used
is
exact
you.
At this
Even
point, it's water off a
running.
Duck's back, ladies and gentlemen. Water off a duck's back. All right, try this one, Paula. A CNN gift spatula.
CNN. News. No.
Gift spatula.
Gift spatula.
Gift spatula. Lifter, flipper. Anchor,
well, you think you booed the last one.
Flipper.
Anchor, reader, gift spatula.
CNN.
Lifter.
This is not a rhyme, but it's just
cable.
You have it.
Cable ladle.
Cable.
No.
Gifts.
Turner.
That's exactly right. Very good. A CNN gift spatula is a Turner.
Ted Turner.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ted Turner. And finally, the hardest one of all, Barry.
I was saying flips or flips or something.
Poor Clerk Bob's tools.
Poor what?
Poor Clerk Bob's tools.
It's a Cratchit Ratchet.
Good job.
Or a Cratchit Hatchet. Can we get extra credit?
By the way, For the people who really know what's going on at CNN, that gift spatula thing was called an anchor spanker.
Well, I think we've gotten just about as much out of this category as we're going to get, don't you? But I really do want to thank the folks that send all these questions
in. The following 27 people.
And that was Matthew Wilson of Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks, Matt, for being a good sport and taking it all in good stride. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Carlos Cruzan of Miami, Florida. Carlos writes, I was a graduate student in history several years ago, and I thought I was pretty well versed in the subject. Until one afternoon, when I'm listening to Says You, and I find out I've been wrong all along. It was a question about the Battle of Ironclad Ships in the Civil War, but I can't remember why I was misinformed. Can you refresh my memory? We can, Carlos. It was a rainy day in Vermont in Season 7 when we played that particular round of Not Quite. Nichol Kramer of nearby Guilford, Vermont, hears us each week on Vermont Public Radio. He herein challenges us with a round titled Not Quite. We think we know all about the following words, phrases, or references. Why are we not quite correct about, Carolyn? Mm-hmm. The phrase, I'm feeling nauseous.
Because it should be nauseated.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you're right.
That is exactly right. Do you know why?
Yeah, sure.
Because that's correct.
Nauseous is a gas.
Yes. Fine by me. Right. Yes, that's right. Nauseous refers to the agent which induces nausea. You are, in fact, nauseated. In this way, nauseous and nauseated are parallel forms to poisonous and poisoned. So they're very good, Carolyn. 10 points. Tony, why are we not quite correct about the meaning of the lion's share?
Well, I don't know too many lions who really like to share to begin with.
Not very well.
The lion's share. I believe it's the lioness who does the hunting.
But that's not where we're going.
The lion who then comes in and takes possession of what's been killed.
You're actually on the right track here. I've never seen a more stunned expression.
Should it be the lion's share without the apostrophe S?
No, that's not it. What do you think the lion's share means?
That means a larger part, the largest part.
And you're not quite correct about that.
The main part, M-A-N-E.
The lion's share.
Lions don't share.
No, do you know where it comes from?
Obviously not.
The jungle.
Do you know where the phrase comes from the audience? Anyone? That's exactly right. Aesop's Fables. Yeah. If you remember, from the Aesop fable, it means all of something. Not the greater part, but all of it. Because if you remember from the fable, the lion collects a number of animals to help him in the hunt, and after the hunt is over, the lion claims a third of the take because he's the king of beasts, an additional third because he led the hunt, and the remaining third because you try to take it.
I believe that's called the trickle-down theory of lion management.
Yes, it is. The moral of the fable is, as given, you may share the labors of the great, but you will not share the spoils. Arnie, why are we not quite correct about the Battle of the Monitor and the Merrimack?
Why are we not correct about it?
Yeah, not quite correct about it.
I mean, we don't think the battle actually took place, or we do... I'm not sure
we
I know
talk
what
about,
we thought.
Well, we talk about one ship made of iron, and it wasn't. Is that what you mean?
No,
was,
actually, they
no,
were both iron
clad,
but that has something to do with it. I saved this one for you, Arne.
Because the South won it.
No, not to the guys at the bottom of the ocean. No, they didn't win that battle,
right.
No.
That was the Monitor they pulled out.
The Monitor limped off, yes. The Monitor limped off the victor, but why are we not quite correct about it?
Because they actually didn't fight each other.
No, they did. They did fight.
Because you made up the question.
Right.
I have no idea. I have no idea what we think about. So, I mean, when you say the Battle of the Monitor and the Merrimack, it's the Civil War.
We think that the Monitor won.
And the Monitor won. It limped off to victory, as you say.
Does the other side have any idea?
Did they fight more than one battle?
They did not. No, it was one battle. Anyone from the audience know? That's it. Well, we got a sharp audience on our hands. That is exactly right.
What?
It is called, the Merrimack is actually the Virginia.
Oh.
The Merrimack was the name of the ship it was before it was scuttled, then raised, and then clad with iron. Otherwise, why would a Confederate vessel be named after a river in Massachusetts and New Hampshire?
I see.
So it was identity theft.
Yes. The Union ship was the Monitor. However, the name of the second ship was the Virginia. Okay. Which was the skeleton, of course, was the Merrimack.
Very good.
Try this one, Francine. Why are we not quite correct about eking out a living?
We're
not quite correct about that. What misconception do we
Could it be one of those bizarre measures of a unit of volume or something?
Oh, what a great guess.
Like
give him 5 points for that.
Or,
I love
that.
No, an eek.
An eek. An eek, yes. 2 weeks.
two weeks
is a pinch. I don't know.
2 weeks is a living. And,
what do you think it means?
Scraping by.
Just barely getting by.
Right. It's what,
well, you're not quite correct about that.
Okay.
Does anything it? To do what how a ghost spends his time?
Just so no.
Is eeking more along the lines of a near miss?
No, but I'm going to give you another 2 points because you did know the meaning of it. And does anyone from the other side have any help on this?
What do you think?
I'm going to turn to our very intelligent audience. Audience, do you know why what the real meaning of eking out a living is? It is, according to Mr. Kramer, eking out a living, we use it to mean to barely make a living or just squeak by. However, to eke out a living is to improve one's circumstances or expand one's living. For example, to take a second job or something like that. So that's
how do we know this fellow was
right? I think eking out a living is barely making a job, isn't it?
Are you taking him at his word?
You're taking
only?
Him at his word?
I'm taking the man at his word. So he's from Vermont.
Say,
what do you want me to do? In fact, is he in the audience today? Oh, sure. When the heat's on, he doesn't show up. Okay, fine.
I'm not so sure about the source.
We've checked, and it is. That is what it means. So.
Really?
2 weeks.
Paula, why are we not quite correct when we use the phrase livid with rage?
Oh, dear, lividity. Oh, livid.
What does it make you think of?
Well, it makes you think you're just beyond furious. That's what it makes
red
you
the
think
face.
Of. Red in the
red
face.
Red in the face. That's exactly what it makes
sort of
you think of.
Or brown
and it's
or
not.
Something.
However,
is
lividity is when the blood settles.
When the blood settles.
So you're not red
according
in the
to
face.
Gravity, so it actually is drawn out of your face. Yes.
That is exactly right. Leaving
hit that bell.
Leaving
so you have
what
a white
color?
Face. Ring that bell.
Ring that bell.
Leaving what color behind?
White.
White,
or depending
well,
on
depends
whatever
on
complexion
the person.
You have.
You know
yes,
what?
Depends on who you are. Yes.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Devoid of red.
You know what? I'm going to give him the 10 points.
Okay.
That. Livid with rage. When used in phrases such as a face livid with
yes.
rage, it's
oh,
often assumed to mean bright red. However, livid means pale gray. For example, the color of an old bruise.
You know what I thought it was when I first heard it? I thought it was liver with rage. And it was what they tried to hit me with every Thursday for dinner.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I remember liver. That.
Say, so you need it. It's good for you.
Sort of like foie gras fumes.
Liver with rage.
You
liver
stand up in the rage. Potted plants in my
yes,
house.
And finally, Barry, why are we not quite correct when we think about Big Ben?
Big Ben?
Yes.
Why are we not correct?
Yes. Not quite. Not quite correct.
Think about Big Ben.
What do you think it
because
is?
Because Big Ben, is there a difference between the clock and the tower? Is that where we're going here?
Almost. So in other words, you're thinking of the clock and the tower
there's
in London.
There's the clock and the tower in London.
Right.
But when we think of Big Ben, that is not exactly where Big Ben is.
Well, it's in the tower, but it's not the clock.
It's in the tower. The Big Ben is the bell, actually, not the clock.
Yeah. 10 points. Oh, very good.
Excellent.
Well,
Big Ben is the largest 13-ton bell in the tower. That's what Big Ben is. And here, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a distinguished bell, yes.
Little Ben.
Little Ben.
Has anyone else noticed that the bell is completely given out over the course of the show? That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round four, which is Francine's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Please create a definition for the word pandy.
Pandy.
P-A-N-D-Y, pandy. Folks?
Swing, oh, swing, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home. Swing, oh, swing, oh, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Come for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, come for to carry me home. Swing, oh, swing, oh, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home.
There are so many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net, SaysYou. Briefly, SaysYou pauses. We'll be right back. Southern Rail. Thank you so much, guys. We have had a few moments with the word pandy. We will go first to a studious-looking Tom Kemp.
This word derives from ancient times, Saint Pandy. And there are many schools that are not in this area that are called Saint Pandy. And it's a punishment, actually, when someone acts a little randy or something like that. And they are beaten on the hand with a stick or a cane. It's a punishment. It's to pandy.
To punish?
To beat on the hands, you know, with a stick or a cane. Stick.
Oh, like the nuns taking the ruler and
I didn't know
away.
If you wanted to go that explicit, but yes.
Well, having had the experience, I think I can go there.
Pandy.
It means to get whacked on the hand with a stick.
With a stick.
Yes, to pandy. To pandy, whack somebody handy. On the hand, I guess, is the verb. It could be that or it could be something else, Francine. What say you?
A pandy. A pandy is a verb, and a pandy is a street beggar.
It's a verb?
Well, that wouldn't be a verb.
I'm sorry, a noun. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
And I haven't even been here all day.
A pandy is, I'm sorry?
A street beggar.
A street beggar is a pandy.
Yes.
That could be it. Short, sweet, simple, could be it. Or it could be something else. Barry?
Pandy, treats for cute bears.
Yes.
Actually,
thank you. I appreciate that.
I was kidding. Pandy is a sherry-based fruit punch.
A sherry
popular in Scotland.
A sherry-based fruit punch. So you could get loaded on Pandy.
You could get hammered on Pandy.
You can get hammered on Pandy.
With a shandy chaser.
Yes. Yeah. Pandy could be. Candy it's either candy. That or a street beggar or to get hit on the hand with a stick. Yeah. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, yours.
Hello?
Well, when I was growing up, that beating on the hands with a stick was just called corporal punishment, you know? And,
yes, but you live in sophisticated Massachusetts.
I don't know. Those nuns weren't
You know, someplace else it could be, pandy the guy.
Give him a pandy.
Hit him on his handy. Hit him on his handy.
Yeah. Well, you know, street beggar is like a panhandler. Maybe it is a slang term.
Panhandler or pander.
Pander.
Or sherry-based fruit drink.
Never
get hammered on. No?
We never heard that before. Because we never heard anything before for the last 15 years.
Never heard any of these words.
I don't know.
Actually, how many words do you think that we've actually known?
Maybe two.
Yeah, when I've given you the word.
When we had to disqualify, maybe two.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, two or three.
Not many, I know that.
No,
not many.
Zarf, I remember when you asked
Zarf
that.
Was one of them, yeah, I remember
Zarf,
that.
Zarf, yeah. So what are you doing, Arne?
I'm thinking it might be to beat with a stick.
On the hand.
Gee, I don't think so.
All right, what are you going for?
I'm going for the sherry-based fruit punch.
I'm going for the hand.
Okie dokie.
Okay, you can, you know, do this. You ready? We're going with Tom.
Okay.
Simply because two of us are saying it. Yeah.
Tom, they have come to the not quite unanimous decision.
Nope.
That pandy is to beat on the hand with a stick. Is that in fact what it means?
Pandy. To beat on the hand, especially with a cane or stick.
That's what it is.
No, I think.
Boy, that is one happy Paula Lyons, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? Look at that.
Why am I happy? I mean, I had it wrong.
Let's go on to round five. There are so many jerks around. Here are six. 10 points each for filling us in on the facts. Carolyn, what puts the jerk in jerk chicken?
A combination of spices, including allspice. And
paprika,
thyme,
something peppery,
nutmeg.
I want to know what this one thing is here. There's one other thing that I have.
Cayenne.
Nutmeg isn't jerk chicken?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Cinnamon. Soy sauce.
Cayenne pepper.
Cinnamon, hot pepper.
Yeah, and pepper. You know what? I'm going to give you the 10 points, but then I'm going to ask you, what are Scotch bonnet peppers?
Oh, Scotch bonnet peppers are very hot peppers.
Very hot peppers.
That you use for...
I have never heard of that, and, I'm not surprised.
They're very hot peppers.
Okay.
Tom, what is the definition and derivation of a jerkwater town?
A jerkwater town?
Yep.
I really don't have a clue.
It's an insulting name for a small town that means there is nothing of interest in this town. There are no redeeming qualities to it.
But where does the jerk come from?
And the jerk water?
Yes, jerk water town.
Would be, that was the kind of town in which you could sell those fake medicines on the back of wagons and call it something, and all it is water and alcohol.
That is just a fabulous guess. Completely wrong, but a fabulous... you're getting points for that.
Have something to do with the small stream that the town might have been in.
A pump.
Bad water.
Well,
pump.
Not a pump per se, Francine, but something about getting water. That's
well,
for sure.
Well, having to use a well because they didn't have plumbing.
That is another great guess. It's wrong, but it's a great guess. Anybody?
Does it have anything to do with the saloon?
Not the saloon.
The salon.
The salon, yes. The sewer.
Anybody want to give a little help
Wyatt
here?
I remember Wyatt Earp talking about, where's the salon in Tombstone?
Anybody from the audience? Trains.
Trains.
Is exactly right. Yeah. I'm going to give you 6 points for your effort. That's
Trains.
True, because you got 5 points for knowing that a jerkwater town is a small and unimportant community. And it is a little bit about pumping water. But if your town didn't raid a water tower... The crew had to dip buckets into nearby stream and jerk that water up into the engine for a stream. Also, the station personnel would not maintain it. There was a long chain on which you could pull if you were on that train and let water into the engine. And that's where you get the term jerkwater town. No one would come out to help you. So that's where that comes from, and I hope we all learned a little something.
We did.
Try this one, Arnie. Probably all humans have experienced the hypnic jerk. H-Y-P-N-I-C, the hypnic jerk. What do you suppose it is?
Sneeze?
No, it is not a sneeze. It's
a hiccup?
No, it's a real jerk.
It's a real
jerk. Hypnic?
I loved finding this one out.
You mean
like
your body goes through a jerk?
Yeah, your body really does go through a jerk.
Is it when you're just about to fall asleep?
And
then,
you
know,
you're
sort of jerk yourself.
You dream that you're
that's falling. Exactly what it is.
That yeah. That's
very good, though. Yeah. Nice job.
There's another name for that.
What is that?
It's also referred to as a myoclonic jerk.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It is that you're just starting to fall asleep or, you know,
right.
And
boom.
All of a sudden you wake with a start because you thought you were falling.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's the brain and the muscles out of sync and the muscle's trying to relax while the brain is interpreting that as falling. And that's how that comes about. That's what the hypnic jerk
nice
is.
Nice to know.
Francine, if you were doing a clean and jerk, what were you doing and how would you do it?
Remember your bodybuilding experience?
Yeah.
Those guys that you saw, they did a lot of that.
That a clean and jerk.
Is it a pose?
No.
Show us the pose you mean.
Yeah, show the radio audience the pose you have.
Clean and jerk is where the bodybuilder squats down, grabs the bar with his hands, and in one swift movement brings it up to where it rests on its hands at shoulder length, and then with another sort of dip and push, he pushes it up directly over his head.
And which part is the jerk?
Anybody that would spend a lot of time learning.
10 points. That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
The jerk is the part where you put it over your head.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The jerk, the...
I lift things up and put things down.
That's exactly right. The clean phase is when you do the squat and you pull it up to your shoulder level, and the jerk
one
is when
move.
You push it up over your head. Try this one, Paula. Why would Don Julian and Navin R. Johnson be included in this category? Don Julian and Navin R. Johnson.
Did they write that song, Cool Jerk?
R. Johnson.
Well, you're very close.
They invented beef jerky?
No, you're very close with Don Julian.
Don Julian, that sort
he
of
was a songwriter?
Name.
Yes, he was.
He was
a
dance? Do the Jerk.
Do the Jerk.
Do the Jerk. That's exactly right. Don Julian wrote that. What about Navin R. Johnson?
He wrote the words.
No, he did not.
He created the dance.
He created the dance?
No, he did not.
He's not the choreographer of
that. He has nothing whatsoever to do with the song.
Why is he in the same question?
You tell me.
Okay, so when
he's Don Julian's real name.
No, Navin R. Johnson.
He is the jerk. The other one did the jerk. No.
That's exactly right. Yes, that's right.
Oh,
I'm not sure. What's
do you know who Neighbor Noir Johnson is over here?
Is it the
Jerry
movie?
Lewis?
It's the movie.
Oh, it's Jerry Lewis.
The movie. It's the movie with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Right. In the Jerk.
Neighbor Noir Johnson.
Right. Yeah.
One of them danced the jerk, and
the other one was the jerk.
Right. And finally, Barry, put a cap on this. What's the best use of a jerk meter?
Jerk meter. I love
it. If you sign up for eHarmony.
And it doesn't go so well.
Is a jerk meter a thing that measures sudden movements?
It does. I don't know how he knows these things.
There's a thing in clinical psychology where you study the behavior of animals, and there's a thing that sort of will measure whether or not they're moving around. And if you expose them to loud noises or stimuli, you can see how strongly they react.
You know, that's not the use here. We're thinking of the use in physics. Do you have any idea what a jerk is in physics?
It's a small subatomic particle.
No, it is not.
But that was a really good guess.
It's a measure of movement.
Yes, it is. It's a jolt, a surge, or a lurch. Okay, it's actually the rate of change of acceleration. It is measured in meters per second cubed on a jerk meter. But I'm going to give you 7 points for that because you did use it. It is used in many, many disciplines. That 7 points gives you a very respectable 77-point total, but it wasn't enough. 106 points for this week's winners, Mr. Arnold Raisman's team. Wow. You got everything today. That's a perfect day, 106 points, isn't it? That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Neil Feinberg and all the folks at Bemis Hall here in Lincoln for making it so much fun. And thanks for you guys for sitting through show 4. I am so glad we made it together. I just think it's great. Sharon Salkin write the show. Antonio Oliard captures the moment. And Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. And once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Thank you, Lincoln, for showing up. See you next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.